Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Well, that was a mess.
Woo!
Right?
Yeah, not great.
Just all the way around.
Not great. Yeah, there was a lot of not good the last couple of days. You know, Lance Lynn was terrible yesterday, and he's getting worse as the season goes along, which is pretty concerning. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll turn it around, but he was really good in April, just kind of okay in May, and now it's been pretty rough in the month of June. The bigger concerns are the injury ones, right? Kyle Gibson today said his left hip tightened up,
yeah,
and he couldn't really finish his delivery. Now, what I'm hoping, and I think what a lot of people are hoping, is, you know, he just came off the bereavement list. There was a death in the family on his wife's side, so he had some travel mixed in there. And, you know, you can be in a plane and get stiff. So hopefully it's just, you know, the uniqueness of flying to Miami and then flying away and then flying back and then doing all that. And hopefully that's just some tightness that got in there from awkward sitting or whatever. So we'll see. But he said nothing structural. You'd heard him with Joe Pop played some of the clips. And then Arenado got hit in the elbow, which they're calling a bruise in the elbow right now.
Good.
Looked like he kind of got hit on the funny bone area, which...
Yeah. Hopefully it's just real painful and it's not long-lasting.
Yeah. And if it's just a bruise, you know, maybe a day or two and he should be okay. But it's on his throwing elbow, so that complicates it a little bit. And then he took the double shot there, too.
Sure did.
Deflected off the elbow and then right into the...
That is insult right into to the, injury, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, right into the nether regions.
Jeez.
Yeah, freeze a crowd, as we like to say in baseball.
Oh, man.
You don't want another ball in there.
It's like if you're 10 years old and you've never played baseball and you watch that at bat, you go,
no, thank you.
Never mind. I don't think this is the sport for me.
Didn't know that could happen.
I'm gonna do esports. So, like, that's all of that is part of it. But, I mean, you know, 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position yesterday, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position today. And today's one of those that reminds you, too, that, you know, I can't remember, at least 3 or 4 of those at bats with runners in scoring position belonged to Pedro Pajes and Michael Ciani.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are hitting 8th and 9th. They are not offensive players. Everybody knows that they're there for their defense. So that changes it a little bit. Like, if you say, well, if you have Nootbaar and Wilson Contreras in the lineup, well, those guys won't be in there and others get moved down. But it's still, I mean, it's the Marlins.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
sometimes you just stink it up.
It is. And look, the first game wasn't even pretty. You know, you had 2 extra inning games plus this one that came down to the bottom of the 9th. And Burleson wasn't good defensively in the bottom of the 9th inning. But it's hard to blame a loss on that, even though he allowed the leadoff man on base because he misread a fly ball that he should have caught. And then he bobbled the one where he had the chance to throw Tim Anderson at home. But, I mean, this game was lost at the plate. It was lost by going 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I dozed off last night at the very end of the game. What happened? The pitcher forgot to cover first base?
Yeah, and it wouldn't have guaranteed a win, but the guy that ended up reaching base, or I should say the out that wasn't recorded there, allowed the winning run to score, right? The inning would have ended before the winning run could have scored.
Gotcha.
Had Roycroft remembered to cover first on a ground ball to first base. And this is, like, that is... That's baseball 101, yeah. Dude. I mean, like, you do that in junior high and high school, and your coach is going to make you run. You know, that, like, that is every catcher at every level that's ever been instructed, and every coach from the bench is usually saying it, although maybe not in the big leagues. But as soon as a ball is hit to the right side, everybody's yelling, get over, get over, get over. Like, the pitcher has to know anything to the right side, because if the first baseman goes for it, nobody's at first but you.
What appeared to be the problem?
He just brain cramped.
Mm.
I mean, it, pretty clearly, he just froze. You know, there's no reason not to do it. It's just brain cramp. And then that allowed the inning to continue 1 out further than it would have. And it was after that that the winning run was driven in.
You know, I'm glad we have the game we have tomorrow, because not only is it going to be fun and special, but it's sort of a different, weird game. You're not just going in and playing the Giants, and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that could be a good reset.
I hope so. You know, it's going to be nationally televised. There, for people that don't know, I'm sure if you're listening, you heard Rick and John talk about it. And it's been promoted throughout Major League Baseball. This is a big showcase game tomorrow with the Giants playing at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Especially,
oh my goodness,
coming,
how about that?
A day and a half after, and the game will be a day and a half after Willie Mays passed away. It was crazy too, because I think it was just the day before yesterday that Willie Mays and his people put out a statement apologizing that he couldn't make it to Rickwood Field. And he said, you know, because he grew up right near there. He grew up a couple minutes
dreaming
from Rickwood
of playing
Field.
There.
Dreaming of playing at Rickwood. That was like his first big baseball dream, which he did, by the way. He played for the team called the Black Barons. So it was the Negro League team down there. He played for them when he was 17. And he was playing against grown men as a 17-year-old. So he got to do that. But he said, you know, after all these years, it's amazing that Rickwood is still here, and so am I. And, I mean, sadly, you know, a day and a half later, that wasn't true anymore. But, yeah, it's got a lot of extra meaning. It already had a lot of meaning, but has a lot of extra meaning now that Willie Mays has passed, and that'll be a big part, I'm sure, of tomorrow celebrating his life.
Tommy had Costas on today.
Yeah.
Talking about it. That was, I mean, Costas is always Costas.
He's great. He gets the context of history, and he's so well versed in it and well spoken. So it's like the perfect combination to remember a guy like Willie. And, you know, there's no such thing in my view in any sport as the greatest of all time, because everything is context related. Everything is about your era. Everything's about, you know, what was going on around you. But when you consider all that, I mean, if you're going to have the conversation of, okay, who are the guys that would be in the conversation for greatest of all time? Willie's in there. I mean, he is one of those guys without question. The numbers, you know, he was one of the guys that came up pretty early on in integration, right? I mean, he played in the Negro Leagues. You know, the fact that that happened tells you about the era that he came up in. I know Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the 40s. But it wasn't exactly like all the walls were torn down by 1951 when he broke into the big leagues.
Wasn't a big welcome, everyone come in.
Exactly, right? I mean, when he was playing in the minor leagues in New Jersey, he was still getting all the taunts and all the tormenting and all the racial nonsense. And I'm sure he got it at the major league level, too. But, you know, when you're looking at statistics, when you look at impact, and who he was. You know, one of my things as a kid, I tweeted this last night, but one of my things as a kid was, I read every baseball biography I could find about a Hall of Famer. I mean, from, you know, Stan to Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Jackie Robin, you name it, I did it because I was just into that stuff. And one of the cool things you learn about from reading Willie's story, and this is something that stood out to me as a kid, I read these books when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, is that, you know, Willie learned a lot about dealing with failure. Because when he first got to the big leagues, he failed for a while. He struggled really badly, and it took, you know, his manager saying essentially, look, you're not coming out. You're my guy. You're going to play. And eventually he figured it all out. He ended up having to go to war. You know, he was in the Korean War, missed most of 1952, which would have been his second season in the major leagues, missed all of 1953, and then came back in 54 and was the MVP.
Wow.
Like, he missed almost two seasons in his early 20s and then came back and won the MVP. And if he hadn't had the military service, he might have been the guy that caught Babe Ruth. You know, he came up 54 home runs short of Babe Ruth. But, you know, his average season, the 2 years that he came back. So he hit 41 home runs the first year he came back. He hit 51 the next year. So at that time in his career, he very easily could have hit 54 home runs in 2 years and been the home run king when he retired.
So I understand Babe Ruth's Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
But Willie did everything. I mean, he fielded like a demon. He stole 300-plus bases.
300 steals, 600 home runs, 13 gold gloves in center field. And
24 All-Star appearances?
I mean, that's insane right there. He played. Now, keep in mind that at times in those days, they played 2 All-Star games in some years, right? Because he only played 23 seasons.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Right. Yeah, he played 23 seasons, but 24 All-Star games in 23 seasons. And essentially, he didn't play the All-Star game in his first few years, not as a rookie and not after that. I don't even know if the All-Star game existed in those years. But if it did, it would have been because he was at war and he was a rookie in the first one.
He played pretty late, too, right?
Yeah, and he played in the All-Star game. Now, the last one, 1973, was more of an honorary thing. They knew it was his last year and all that. In fact, I think the same thing in 72. Like, 72, 73 was more of an honorary thing. But he made it legitimately at age 40 in 1971.
Speaking of All-Stars, do we have anyone in contention besides Helsley?
Maybe. I mean, you know, on the offensive side, not really, right? We've been talking about the offensive struggles all season long, and nobody really has the Now, I could see an argument being made depending on the construction of the roster for Mason Wynn.
Oh.
You know, they do like to feature young stars,
yeah.
And he's hitting 293. His offensive numbers are good. I'm not sure it's going to be all-star good, but he's probably the one on the offensive side. You know, Gorman has the home runs, but he doesn't have a lot of the other stuff. But Helsley's the one guy that would be a lock right now. I mean, he's one of the best closers in baseball. He's definitely going to be there, barring something weird. And maybe Sonny. I mean, he's got a 285 ERA or 295 ERA, and, you know, nobody cares much about one loss record anymore.
Who would beat
But he's 8-4.
Who would beat out Mason?
Boy, that's a really good question. Trying to think of the guys in the National League that would be the shortstops.
No one jumps.
No, I mean, so you have, I'm flying through this in my, like, Trey Turner's missed most of the year for the Phillies. He may still get voted in because Philadelphia gets a lot of votes, but he's the top guy there.
And is that how it is? It's just all fan vote?
Well, no, that's how the starters are picked. And then after that, the managers and players and the fans don't really pick the bench, just the starters. And then the players and the coaching staffs pick the bench guys that are going to go there. But Turner could get voted in. You've got Francisco Lindor, who's definitely going to be there for the Mets. He's having a big year. Adamas from the Brewers could be a candidate. O'Neill Cruz. Eli De La Cruz is going from Cincinnati. He's on pace for like 90 steals and hitting home runs. So it's going to be a tough putt. Plus Mookie Betts, although he's hurt now. So maybe maybe as a replacement for Mookie Betts. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, though. There are a handful of guys that are having big years, and when you consider that everybody has to have a player, it's going to be tough for Mason unless he's a guy like could replace an injured player or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys see the story that one of the largest public schools in the country in L.A. County have banned cell phones?
Hmm.
Yeah, I saw Gavin Newsom wants to really restrict them at public schools in California. I'm surprised that cell phones weren't banned already. Whenever I was...
It's always puzzled me.
Yeah, when I was in high school, which is when everybody started to have a phone, like, 2006 on, we weren't allowed to have our phones with us throughout the day. We got in, like, huge trouble if we had it. And that was before they were smartphones.
Right. Yeah, those were just cell phones.
Right. It was just texting and calling.
A couple statistics here. In 2004, 20 years ago, 45% of teenagers, not in school, just... in general, owning, 45% of teenagers had a cell phone. In 2024, 97% have a smartphone.
Wow.
97%.
Yeah.
So we were talking yesterday. Parenting is not easy, as we both know. And you have to be the bad guy sometimes.
Yeah.
And that is my weak spot right there. That is my handicap, is I don't like being the bad guy. I admit it. I broad enough shoulders to admit it. I work on it. Thankfully, now the kids are old enough that you can kind of deal with them as adults. But I was a pretty soft parent growing up. But we talked about how difficult it is to say no to your kid when everyone has one. 97%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like 60% of the kids have them and your kid's going to be in the 40%. Your kid's going to be in the 3%. Mm-hmm. That's rough.
What, I mean, so I know it's super rare. Like, it statistically, almost a 0% chance of any particular school having a shooting thing going on. But what about having that when something mm-hmm. terrible is going on?
Right.
I mean, it's probably not statistically significant enough to say, yeah, that's a good reason for everybody to still have them. But even though it's a statistical improbability, in the event that your kid is in there, do you not want them to have the ability to communicate with the outside world?
I think you make a great point.
Yeah, it kind of overrides everything.
I mean, it's such a small chance, right? It's such a tiny chance based on the number of schools and the number of those things that are happening. You know, I'm sure, I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure it's less than 1% of all schools ever have those.
Mm-hmm.
But in that one terrible moment, do you want your kid to be without an ability to communicate with the outside world?
You know, this is on a much lighter note, but we used to get in trouble for passing notes in class.
Right.
I guess it's just
right.
not even a thing anymore. You just text right. your friend and the teacher knows it's happening.
I am in favor, though, of strict enforcement of not bringing the phone out during class.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Like if you're because when you're teaching, if I see a kid on a phone, there should be consequences for that kid. I mean, if you should be able to set the rules and say, here's the deal. If your phone is out without permission from the teacher in the classroom, that is a detention. That is some form of, you know, it's, you can't take property, or at least it's difficult to take property from them, but say, listen, all right, buddy, you're after school for 20 minutes today or for a half an hour today. And I don't know if that means enough to kids, whatever that means, but I think it's important to not let it become a distraction, and you do still have to follow rules when you're in school.
There have always been kids who are going to cheat on tests and homework and things like that going all the way back since we've had school. But in my day and age, it was pretty rare. Like, I was always terrified to do it. I never did. I really never did. I never even considered it because I was afraid of getting in trouble. Phoebe, who's now going to be a sophomore at KU, said that in junior high and high school, it was just huge. Just absolutely, like, almost an underground thing, like teaching each other how to cheat, and especially with the smartphones and so forth. And I mean, kids just aren't getting the education that they
I mean, I hate to oversimplify, and I'd have to talk to some of my friends and family members that are teachers, because it's amazing how my sister's a teacher. I have two cousins that are teachers. I have buddies from our friends from high school that are teachers, high school teachers.
Teachers and priests.
So, yeah, I know. It's crazy. And nuns. Yeah. Got a couple of nuns. Well, one is no longer with us. You know, R.I.P. Aunt Winnie. She was the best. But
Winnie.
Yeah, Aunt Winnie. She's the best, man.
Sister
and she
Winnie.
Was. And she was. She
not
was,
kidding around.
No, she was basically me as an 80-year-old nun.
I wish she like, hadn't said that.
I mean, she was like tough and loud. And and all the students loved her, but she was no one to be trifled with. I can tell you that.
I had planned to have sex again at some point in my life. Now it's about 50-50.
But what I meant to say was, I'd have to talk to the teachers, but if you get caught with your phone out during a test, that should be an automatic fail, period, the end.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. DGS 332. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Can I start with some sad news?
Of course you can.
I've told this story a couple of times about Choking Duck.
Yes.
Remember Choking Duck?
Sure.
Story?
Yes.
He has passed away.
Oh
Dave, I'm sorry.
90 years old, almost 91. Missed it by 2 months. Been married for almost 65 years. And I would consider, I still, obviously, even though he's passed away, considered him probably my best friend.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
Now it's, you know, it was it unexpected? Yes. But you know what? You're 90 years old. You know, sure. It's coming at some point. And he had a fantastic life.
Did you get to talk to him fairly recently?
I talked to him about 5 months ago. So, you know, in the way we talk, we usually talk once or twice a year. So yeah. I would say, you know, unless we see each other on vacation or something like that. So, yeah. And he was doing okay. The last time I saw him, which was in Hawaii, that's we used to go there together. And he was having some troubles. He was having some heart troubles. But when he got back after a couple of months, I called him up to see how he was doing. And he said, I'm doing okay. The doctors put me on some new meds, but he died of a massive heart attack.
Well, if you have to go, that's the way to go.
That was my first question to his wife. I said, hopefully he went fast. And she goes, I had enough time to lie down with him and cuddle with him.
Jeez.
And then boom, it was just gone.
Wow. I mean, good for Choking Duck, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I'll take it. Sign me up.
I would do the same thing. Same thing.
Well, condolences, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Are you getting bored with the weather?
Yeah. Big dome, high pressure. It's a meteorologist nightmare. And, you know, just nothing much going on other than that this high had moved off to our east. Now it's moving back to the west. It's covering almost the entire country. The only thing we have going is we do have a tropical storm now. It's called Alberto. And it's basically going to make landfall as a tropical storm in Mexico, the coast of Mexico, out of the Gulf of Mexico, South Padre Island. A lot of St. Louis folks know exactly where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Some heavy rains, probably, you know, 4 or 5 inches of rain, and they do need that. But the big question when we have a storm in that place, does it have anything for us? Is it going to break down this dome of high pressure too far south? It's not going to affect us at all.
So when do we kind of get a break, Dave?
I'm not sure you want my answer.
I'm not sure I do either.
Oh, no.
I think I already have it.
Yeah, yeah. The headline is that it looks like it's going to continue through June.
Oh, right into July.
right into July. Yeah, we're 96. This whole, you know, in order to get a big high-pressure system to move, you usually need a pretty good-sized hurricane, Texas coast, that kind of kicks the thing out of the way. That's not happening. But 96 tomorrow, 99 on Friday, 99 on Saturday. On Sunday, a very weak cool front is going to try to kind of penetrate the dome of high pressure. It will make it to St. Louis, and then it's going to stop, and then it's just going to wash out. So if we're lucky, a couple of scattered thunderstorms Sunday morning, but Sunday's still hot, 94.
Okay. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. Police retrieved a dead man from a lake only to realize he was still alive. This happened in India. Officers were called after a shirtless man was seen floating motionless in the water for nearly 5 hours. But when they attempted to drag what they thought was a corpse onto the shore, the man suddenly woke up.
He'd have been a corpse after that if I were there.
Turns out he took a dip in the lake to cool off after working a 12-hour shift and ended up falling asleep while floating.
So now, how do you do that? How do you fall asleep while floating?
For 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
I don't know how you do that.
Had I been there and we pull a corpse out and he turns over and says, and I've got a shovel, that guy's gone.
He's like, hey,
I was just taking a nap.
Oh, man.
And if I'm on the jury of the guy that kills the corpse, that guy's not going to jail.
Two more states are losing access to Pornhub because they...
Well, you said that like you're really sad.
And I'm really torn up about it. It's happening in Indiana.
Rachel's like, in other news, I'm not going to Indiana or Vermont.
It's actually Indiana and Kentucky due to age verification laws in those states. The law requires users to upload a government ID to prove they're over the age of 18.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's going to do that.
So in Kentucky, you can't use Pornhub, but you can marry a 14-year-old. So
the site is already blocked in Utah, Texas, North Carolina, Montana, Mississippi, Virginia, and Arkansas.
What do you guys think of the idea, the age verification? I mean, it makes sense, right?
Sure.
It makes sense to me. You have to show your ID to buy alcohol, to buy cannabis.
My concern is just it's another source.
Yeah.
Another source of what, Dave?
It's another source where your vital information is out there.
So vital.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that are those sites the kind of sites you want to trust your private information
with? Are they secure? Like, you know, is everything going to be secure?
Right.
We all know how well that works.
Let's see. I feel weird following this story with this story, but that's okay. Microplastics could be leading to erectile dysfunction.
Oh.
Yeah, so
don't have to worry about IDs anymore.
Not in Kentucky.
researchers,
like, I'm 18. Prove it. Never mind.
It doesn't matter.
Ain't that big a deal.
A recent study found microplastics in 5 out of 6 subjects when they were being studied for this. While researchers don't yet know if microplastics do affect reproductive health, they're concerned about a possible link.
Yes, as am I. That's our 5 out of 6 dudes.
Well, and then they did another. I thought they did another study where it was like everybody they checked.
Yeah, I had heard that too. That around the world, every single specimen they had microplastics.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Isn't that amazing? That, I mean, when were plastics invented? Anyone? Late 1800s, early 1900s.
Right. I don't know when they exploded, but what was the movie where everybody was like,
The Graduate.
The Graduate, like, get into plastics.
Somebody kinda like, there you go, probably mid 1900s then.
Yeah.
This didn't exist. Didn't exist on the planet. And now we got it in our junk.
We just talked about this in the last segment, but Gavin Newsom wants to limit smartphones in school. He cited a recent warning from the U.S. Surgeon General that excessive social media use is harmful to the mental health of young people. So it doesn't seem like he's coming at it from the cheating standpoint like we were in that last segment. He's talking more about he just doesn't want them on social media all day. He said it would build on a 2019 law that allows schools to restrict or even ban the use of smartphones by students during school hours. They do not want those kids to have fresh breath.
Rachel's thinking about Pornhub.
So Everybody's pointing to those things, and we've had surgeon generals offer these kind of warnings about violent movies in the 80s, video games in the 90s, and none of those things turned out to really change human behavior as much as everybody was afraid of. And the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine did a review of the studies on social media harm, and it said, the quote was, "The committee's review of published literature did not support the conclusion that social media causes changes in adolescent health at the population level." So there are studies that are suggesting there are issues, but the overall look at numbers of studies does not show any proof. Now, the question people are asking is, do we need to wait for proof? Because these scares come along all the time. They literally come along every generation.
This one makes the most intuitive sense to me.
That's
though.
Right.
Yeah.
But something feeling real and sure. having a real effect are not necessarily the same thing.
Well, we have an author on next week. He wrote a book called, I believe, The Anxious Generation, and it's all about this.
Right.
So we'll
find
out.
Yeah, it's fascinating because one of the things that's also being questioned is what counts as social media.
And, there are different things that bother different people.
Right.
I'm not so much worried about kids in general or even my kids. I would prefer it not, but I didn't get myself twisted around what they were going to find on the internet. That's a parenting issue.
Right.
It's more to me the anxiety of it.
Right.
Right. And then the question, so Pew Research asked teens if they think it was a negative, if they have a negative effect from social media. Most of them say no. And there are no warning labels on other things that are more provably harmful, like fast food, junk food, sugary drinks, energy drinks, all of these other things that are more provably dangerous to you. We don't have warning labels on those. We don't have warning labels on having the internet, period.
Go ahead, Rach.
Well, I was just going to say, I understand that Wheels is citing a study here, but I've seen so many studies when it comes to like Instagram and teenage girls and the body dysmorphia, the anxiety around their appearance, lower self-esteem, depression. Like there have been studies about that have shown mm-hmm. over and over again that this is a very real thing. We also talked last week about how little girls as young as the age of 3 like fixate on looking pretty. Social media is going to do nothing but exacerbate.
But those kids
that.
Are not on social media.
Right, but I'm just saying as they get older.
But the general society is doing those things, though. It might be more bigger than social media is what my point is.
Okay.
Like it may be just everything, TV, see what kids are seeing because they have tablets in front of them, not just social media, but because they have access to video at such a young age. I wonder if maybe there's a broader discussion as opposed to just honing in on certain sites.
I get that, but just anecdotally, Dave, what was I telling you in the office earlier? Like, I keep looking at Twitter and getting anxiety.
Yeah.
And I keep looking at Instagram and getting anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, seeing your peers post things. And
what was the quote you said to me about?
Oh, somebody tweeted the other day, like, oh, what a horrible day at work. Better log online and see what all of the mentally ill people have to say about every contentious topic on the planet. Like, I thought that was really funny and really, like, on point. Like, why do I look at this as much as I do?
Do you mostly see your friends or do you mostly see strangers?
On Twitter, I mostly see strangers. On Instagram, I mostly see people I know, and sometimes I feel anxiety about it. It's a real thing.
I think people do, and I think the hard part is differentiating between who does and who doesn't.
Right.
Right? Because I know, like, I'm the polar opposite. None of it bothers me, but I also know I'm weird and unique in that way. Like, it's just a Wheeler thing. So I think that's the hard part, and when the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine are looking at multiple studies that don't have any conclusions, I think the Surgeon General should be operating based on good conclusions with large amounts of information. That doesn't mean that parents need to. Parents can be the ones that are the ones saying, hey, listen, we don't want you on that or we don't want you on it very much. I think that's an interesting differentiation to me.
Dave, Wheeler gave us a piece of information that should help the gentleman in Kentucky.
I heard that.
Did you hear that?
I had just about gotten it out of my mind.
Yeah.
And honestly, what I really should, I said that backwards, right? Because all of the people on the Wheeler side, from my dad to all of his brothers and sisters, I'm like all of them. They're not like me. It's the other way around.
No.
That wasn't the problem.
No, that's not the problem.
Yeah. You mean the nun?
No. Yeah.
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 Winnie?
Yeah.
She was a boss, man. Okay. She was a boss.
I love the name Winnie. That's cute.
Yeah.
I do too.
She was awesome.
All right, let's go to another story here. NASA says that a once-in-a-lifetime nova will explode this summer. Have you heard about this, Dave?
The car?
No, I have not.
Sorry.
Okay, it's a nova event.
That's a
massive
joke.
A massive space explosion so bright it will be visible with the naked eye.
Oh.
It's roughly 3,000 light years from Earth, and it's exploding sometime this summer. NASA is still working to determine the exact date, but says the event will be visible for about a week.
Oh,
which
that's
means
cool.
That it,
that's very cool.
Which means that it blew up 3,000 years
yeah.
ago.
That's even amazing.
Even cooler.
The last time the blaze star nova
I said that
was
like no one else in the world knew it.
Yeah.
Like no one else had ever put that together.
Let me in on what light years means.
It reminded me.
The last time we saw something like this from Earth was 1946. So wow. That's
cool.
Very exciting.
Did you see an update? They had an update on Voyager 1.
No.
Like it's sending back data now that they fixed it.
That's not
from
that's impossible.
15 billion light years away.
That's
no,
impossible.
I'm sorry. 15 billion miles away
Gosh.
Is how far away it is. And it's actually sending back data about interstellar space.
I don't even know how what we do now is compatible with what it has on board. It's like 1970s technology.
Yeah, they did kind of a version of a hard reset and almost a not a physical rewiring, but a rerouting of info, which is because it broke down. So they were able. I mean, that's what's it's insane to
it
think
is.
That they were able to do that from 15 billion miles away, and now it is sending data back. So we're learning about what particles act like when they are not under the effect or the impact of a sun.
We're so uneven.
I know. It's so stupid.
We are. Humanity is Dave Glover. I'm the most uneven piece of crap you're ever going to meet. And it's like, here we are. Like, we're resetting machinery from the 70s from 15 billion miles away.
Yeah.
And yet, look at all the stuff we can't do. We can't fill potholes.
It's all about where the desire is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
One more story here. Climate pro-
If this is about Pornhub, I swear to God.
All right, let's wrap it up. No, I'm just kidding. Climate protesters sprayed orange paint on Stonehenge.
Oh, did you see this?
Did you see these idiots?
Cane them.
Oh, wheels. You
cane them.
You, oh, it. I mean, first of all, let's definitely go after that 5,000-year-old tribute to fossil fuels. You know, that's,
right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you think of when you think of Stonehenge.
It was the group Just Stop Oil. Two people were arrested. They say the purpose of the protest was to demand a treaty to end fossil fuel use by 2030. So I'm sure Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work.
Let's be realistic, too. Hey, everybody, stop in 5 years.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And people
this
are idiots.
This
man.
Is right ahead of their summer solstice celebration.
That is
so it's just terrible all
perfect
around.
Perfect tie-in, by the way, to what we were just talking about. Like, we are so amazing that we can get to we can get information from a thing 15 billion miles away, and we are so stupid that we're going to deface something that has nothing to do with fossil fuels.
You need to watch the video, because
yeah.
It's these two pencil-necked weenies, and then three or four equally pencil-necked weenies tried to stop them, and it's like, it's like a fight of Mr. Burns.
Seriously.
So frustrating. Just like someone tackle them.
Send them to general population in prison.
Yikes.
Sorry.
That's Aunt Winnie talking.
That is right there. She was not having it, man. She would have kicked their asses.
Okay. Will you dress up like a nun for me?
Nope. Nope.
We're all
I knew that was going to come out. What
are they saying? I don't need the smoke that'll come along with that.
I do. Something's got to make up for the visual already. I'm hoping it cancels it out. It's like when people do ayahuasca.
It's exposure therapy.
Yeah, it's exposure therapy.
Nope.
Like, here it is. Here's Aunt Winnie.
Do not want that smoke.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Good times.